WIXX, and currently Y100 WNCY. We're here tonight to welcome Dan's alter ego, Richard Sparks, who came about in the early 90s on the Murphy in the Morning show on WIXX, poking a little or a lot of good-natured fun at our very own friend and colleague, Steve Konopka, who was the chief engineer at that time. It gives me a little bit of pleasure, a great deal of excitement, but I will try and contain myself as we welcome Richard Sparks.
Can you hold on a minute? This is a little embarrassing. My phone keeps going off here. Yeah. Milk. Bread. Single pack Viagra. Okay. See you when I get home, dear. Bye-bye. Well, how are you guys? Thanks for not introducing me as Swinging Dick like you did last time. That had to be, I don't know, 15 years ago at least. It's an honor to be here with you tonight. And to you ladies and gentlemen, to honor you for all that you do to keep our radio and television stations on the air, entertaining, informing, being a companion, providing life-saving information when Wisconsin needs it most. So thank you very much. A round of applause for yourselves tonight, please, for all the work that you do. You might be an engineer if you don't mind if I read some of these, do you? The memory's not what it used to be. You've ever used coat hangers and duct tape for something other than hanging coats and taping ducks. If people hound you for pocket protectors at Halloween, and you can see I conveniently forgot mine tonight. You've ever pointed out a radio tower on a date before? You've ever saved the power cord from a broken appliance? You can remember 7 computer passwords, at least, but not your anniversary. The first thing you do with new electronic gadgets is take them apart to see how they work, for crying out loud. Your spouse keeps tripping over the wires you strung temporarily 3 years ago. You check your email, it says no new messages. So you check it again. Last time you moved, you needed 2 full dumpsters to haul off the scrap electric parts from your workshop. You talk about the high resolution and picture-in-picture capability of your big screen TV while everybody else is watching the Super Bowl. You have more pictures of towers than family. Did I get you? You might be an engineer if you like working around transmitters because the RF makes you horny. And the wife says, Dick, have you been working on those transmitters again? As Bill mentioned a few minutes ago, Richard Sparks came to be one day when Murphy in the Morning and I were messing around on the air, and we started to mimic him a little bit because when I first took, do I have to carry this the whole time? Hello? This is awesome, by the way. There were a few things broken in the studio when I took over as program director. And so he put a call into Steve, and he came in, And he said, well, if yous guys wouldn't abuse the equipment, it wouldn't be broken all the time. And I guess he sort of had a point about that, right? So is Steve here tonight? Is he? Yeah. Come on down, Steve. Because I got a few good ones for you tonight.
Was that you at this microphone? Is that why it was broke?
I think so. How are you, Steve? Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Steve Konopka.
Good evening.
Steve is all for bringing back analog and bringing back smoking cigars in the control room. Let's hear it. How are you, Steve?
Good
I'm
to
see
good.
You.
I'm doing good.
Come on over here. You're hiding in the
cigars. I knocked off the cigars when I set the newsprint from the AP machine on fire. I gave it up after that.
Well, hold on. Let's get out here with Gary. Gary's got it. We got a comment from the peanut gallery here.
Yeah, we were delivering an RCA transmitter, and Steve was there at APL's site, and Marsh Williamson and Steve were smoking cigars, and said, "Look, stereophonic cigars."
Well, you were cracking them up way back then, Steve.
You got it.
Oh, my God. How do you torture an engineer, Steve?
Let me see. I don't know if I got that one.
How well, you gaff tape him to a chair with his eyelids taped open, stand in front of him, and refold a map incorrectly.
Okay.
How you been?
I've been good.
What's the difference between an introverted and extroverted engineer?
Got me there, too.
The extroverted one stares at your shoes. It gets better as the time goes on. An engineer was walking down the street, runs across another engineer friend of his riding a new bike. He asked the engineer where he got it. The engineer says, well, yesterday I was walking, minding my own business, when this gorgeous woman came up upon me, got off the new bike, ripped off all her clothes, and said, take what you want. Then Steve Konopka says, a good choice. The clothes probably wouldn't have fit you anyway.
Oh, you're right. I remember that, yeah.
You remember that, Dave?
Yeah, I remember that one now, yeah. You got to bring that one back, yeah.
How do you spot the broadcast engineer on the Empire State Building observation deck?
He's
the one looking up.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to have a tower up there, though, really? Huh? Z-100. I've been in a few arguments with Steve over the years over equipment and stuff, because, you know, program directors, they always want a little more loudness. Can you give me some compression?
It's got to be another dB every 2 years, yeah.
Exactly.
And it's still going up today, isn't it?
Yep. It is going up today. And from what I heard in some of the PPM markets, like we've got stations in Nashville now, they're putting all kinds of gizmos in the chain now to boost it up even more. And I heard through the grapevine that in the major markets, over-modulation is a common practice.
You're kidding, is
that
right?
This is not a joke.
Oh, boy. Glad that don't happen in ours, huh?
No. Straight up and right on.
You bet.
Arguing with an engineer is like mud wrestling with a pig. After a couple of hours, you realize the pig likes it. So, Steve, how did... You know, they had this nice little thing about how I got into radio when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you end up in the broadcast business? And was engineering the first choice that you had, or did you want to be a DJ and an engineer? Or
well, I had to do both. I wanted to be a DJ and an engineer, so I decided to make my own little radio station down the basement. So I was the engineer and the DJ, right up until the Chicago FCC shut me down. So then I moved on to the real thing.
Yeah.
Upside old TV chassis, you know, vacuum tube design, of course. Pardon that?
What?
Oh, well, I don't know. It didn't have any meters. We just knew it got from Green Bay to Pulaski real nice. That's
so did
all.
So you took your radio outside and just, listen to the music you were playing and stuff?
Yeah, and then drove the car around to see how far out we could go.
How far could you get? You were in Pulaski?
Yeah, we were about 20 miles out. Except then we were driving out, and then it started buzzing and getting distorted, and then it went off the air. But luckily, we made it back before the fire got outside of that room. Because we didn't put fuses in things back then.
Oh,
fuses blow out when you don't want them to.
So after a friendly little visit from the FCC, then you decided you better get your ticket and do the real thing.
Yeah, and that was a little rough, too, because I went to Chicago and passed my first-class license at age 18, 2 years after I had my little radio station. And the guy up at the big old-fashioned counter where they handed out the license, a guy named Galens, I believe, if I remember right, and gosh, before he'd give me that license, he stared me down something terrible and said, "Konopka, wow, does this mean you're going to be legitimate now?" I didn't make any promise, though.
I like that. That's a great story, though. And the magic of broadcasting, that's where it comes from. You know, you've been an engineer way too long when your wife answers the phone at 1 o'clock in the morning and hands it to you saying, "It's your girlfriend," because it's the Burke remote control calling with a fault alarm. She also knows it's your only girlfriend and you're lucky you got married in the first place.
You hit that one right.
Two antennas met on a roof, fell in love, and got married. The ceremony wasn't much, but the reception was excellent. Did you guys actually pay to be here tonight? I'm hoping. Or I should say, use guys. It's hard for me to get the accent in all the time. Some of these are not necessarily engineering jokes, but they just kind of struck me a little bit. A jumper cable walks into a bar. Bartender said, "I'll serve you, but don't start anything." Now you see why they took me off the air and made me a program director. Two peanuts walk into a bar. One was assaulted. One more bar joke. Can you handle that? A man walks into a bar with a slab of asphalt under his arm and says, "A beer, please, and one for the road." So, Steve, what's the biggest change you've seen over the past, say, 25 years since I've been working for Duke at Midwest?
Wow, there's a lot of changes. I've been mostly working out at the tower these days, you know. So
that's
when you get down to the studio, there's none of that stuff that's around for you to break anymore.
I know. It's all basic. It's changed so much for me on the inside of it. You know, with everything, you know, on the hard drive and whatnot, and we've mm-hmm. got these fancy Axia boards. I don't know if any of you guys have those, but those, that they're pretty hard to break. I tried.
Did you? That's good.
We've had them for almost 10 years now, I guess, and, you know, heck, I even seen a burned-out light bulb. What are you guys going to do now?
Yeah, it's kind of getting boring, I'll say.
Got to tell you, I had a little nice little pleasure trip this week. Just got back from that. Took my mother-in-law to the airport. And my wife, Mindy, she's been so supportive through my whole radio career. I remember I'd get the phone call even when I was in high school. We'd have a date on a Friday or Saturday night. Oh, Richard, could you come in and cover the 6 to midnight shift? And then do the 6 a.m. to noon shift the following day and on Sunday morning, too? And I'd say, yeah, I'll be right there. And so I'd, you know, say, well, dear, you know, I'm going to have to go to the radio station again. So she got real used to that over the years, me working all kinds of different shifts, late, early, whatever. But, you know, I got to say, it's just great that I've been in love with the same woman for 43 years.
Hey, congratulations.
But if my wife ever finds out, she's going to kill me. What are three words a woman never wants to hear when she's making love? Honey, I'm home. A doctor examined a woman, took the husband aside in the waiting room. He said, I don't like the looks of your wife at all. Me neither, Doc, said the husband, but she's a great cook and really good with the kids. Is there any of that beer left? Couple of broadcast engineers were arrested while having a knockdown, drag-out fight in a bar. That doesn't happen, does it? I didn't think so.
No comment.
When brought before a judge, he said, what was that all about? They said it was about whether pin 2 or 3 was hot on an XLR connector. What? Did I get you on that one, Steve?
Yeah, that's all right. Pin is it, by the way?
Did our chief engineer now for Midwest, Timmy Lays, make it down?
No, Timmy's not here, sorry
Timmy's
to say.
He's not here today, huh? Yeah. Do want to say just a word. Duke Wright, the president of Midwest Communications, the company I've worked for the past 25 years, his wife Peggy underwent open heart surgery this morning. And so our best wishes with them. She's at Mayo Clinic, so we hope everything comes out fine on that. So any thoughts or thoughts you would have for their well-being would be just great. I did notice here, I got here a little late, later than I had planned on. Leaving Green Bay, they just opened up this great interchange, Velp Avenue, all the way down through Oneida Street. It's about a 14-mile stretch of 41 they've been working on for what seems like...
12 years.
12 years. Thank you for narrowing it down. It seemed even longer, as you can imagine. They just opened it up this week. Some guy comes through this afternoon, right before 4 o'clock, drive time, has the dumper up on his dump truck and hits the overpass, tears the dumper right off the truck. It's laying in the middle of all four lanes, and that's why I was a little late, but I couldn't believe that.
Wow.
So the first thing I did when I got here, of course, is I hit the restroom, as you might imagine. And I'm not going to name any of the, point these guys out that were in here. But, You know, there was three gentlemen in there taking care of business, and they're washing up afterward to come to this exciting meeting that we're having here tonight. And the first one is taking forever at the sink, washing his hands. He must have gone through 10 sheets of paper towel making sure that he was completely dry. I'm not sure what company he was from. Doesn't matter. Second engineer finally gets up there, uses just one sheet of paper towel. But he makes sure that every drop of water is off his hands, neatly folds the towel, and puts it in the wastebasket. Third engineer walks out the door. He says, well, at my company, we were taught not to pee on our hands. I think I might have missed some of it there, but you get the gist. Steve was a DJ for a little while, too.
Yep.
What was your name on the air?
Steve Rock and Roll K.
Could we hear a little talk-up ramp, maybe?
What's that?
Could you do a little talk-up ramp to maybe your favorite Beach Boys song or something like that?
Sure. Maybe. Let me think. I'd have to work on that one a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, back to 65, Diana Ross and the Super Supremes. How was that? That's as good as I can.
That's awesome. And you probably have somebody in your family that, you know, a lot of people don't like to admit that they're part of the family, shall I say. That's my cousin Pete Sparks.
Oh, I never. Yeah. Pete?
Yeah.
Pete.
Peter.
Oh.
Works at the pickle factory.
Okay.
And you might have driven by it before they put the bypass in. It's in Peshtigo.
Oh, that one. Yeah, yeah.
That's the pickle packing factory in Peshtigo.
Peshtigo pickle packing factory. I got it.
Anyway, this guy's got some serious psychological problems. He came home to his wife one day and said, I just have this urge every time I'm at work to put my manhood in the pickle slicer. She says, oh, my goodness, you really need to get some professional help for this. They might even have a group or something that you could possibly. Says, no. It would be too embarrassing to admit this to anyone but you, so I'm just going to handle it on my own. And a couple of weeks go by, and he comes in the front door. His head is hanging. He's not looking good at all, ladies and gentlemen. Peter is not looking good. And his wife says, Peter, what's wrong? He said, I stuck my manhood in the pickle slicer at work. She says, oh, my God, are you all right? He says, yeah, I'm going to be fine. And she says, what happened to the pickle slicer? Well, she got fired, too. And that was the joke that nearly got Richard Sparks fired. And I don't understand why. Then I come to find out my boss, Duke Wright, was telling that joke on the golf course every chance he got, so he must have not thought it was that bad.
Yeah.
But he considered it his job as the owner and the general manager to say that's where the line is.
Yep, that was Duke. That is Duke. Tells you where to stop, and then he goes and laughs about it.
Yep.
Yep.
Exactly. A couple of interesting things happened to Richard Sparks over the years. Going back to around the time the Packers won the Super Bowl down in New Orleans, Our special guest in the studio was Governor Tommy Thompson. And Tommy comes into the studio and I said, Gov, he said, last time I saw you was when a Packer tailgate party. And I said, you want a beer and a brat or no? And he said, and I said, yes. That was one of our memorable moments. Another one was when we actually went down to the Super Bowl, we took a bunch of Green Bay fans down. We had a kind of a group through a travel agent, that kind of thing, the Packer fan club getaway. Mm-hmm. And we all flew down as a group and were standing in the airport in New Orleans, and there's ESPN. And they stick a camera on Richard Sparks' face. And there he is, all decked out in his Packer glory with all the other fans getting ready for the big game. It's going to be a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And for some reason, the guy reporter said, well, are you going to get all wild and crazy here in New Orleans? And Richard says, well, it's not going to get too wild because I brought the missus along on the trip. These are all true stories, by the way. Another interesting thing that happened is Richard Sparks was on the big G at Lambeau Field right before kickoff one time with a wireless microphone, just like you have. It was a New Year's Eve game. The Packers were playing the Detroit Lions. It was the year that the Packers held Barry Sanders to negative 1 yard rushing, by the way, if you want to check the stats on that. But being New Year's Eve, it was also Murphy in the Morning's birthday, and he had this little promotional contest they did with a Lister right before kickoff every time. It was the kick challenge. They had to kick a field goal, catch
one.
A punt or something. I don't ever remember anymore. But I knew it was his birthday. So I get up there, and he's ready to do the game, and instead of me doing the play-by-play, I said, all right, everybody, it's Murphy in the Morning's birthday, so let's all sing happy birthday to Murphy in the Morning. So here's, back then, in the at that time, probably 70-some thousand fans singing happy birthday to Murphy in the Morning on New Year's Eve at Lambeau. And the guy that's running the field operations is running around. They're coming after me, and I said, I got to get going, but I just want to give a shout-out to the missus out in the parking lot in the Winnebago, because they only gave me one ticket to get in this place. So, but the guy, he didn't know what was going to happen next. He wanted that microphone back right away. So it's been an honor to hang out with you a little bit today. You know, my experience with engineering is more on the on-air side and the programming side. But I also had a little radio station when I was in high school. But I had a smart kid build it for me. It also caught on fire.
Oh, all right.
Well, I was out trying to see how far it would go. And mine probably didn't go anywhere near as far as yours, but I just thought it was exciting that, I could get sound to come out of the radio. And what got me interested in the first place was listening to the big AM stations, the clear channels that blanketed America at the time.
That was it. About what year was that?
What year was that?
Yeah, about.
Oh, this would be probably toward the middle to late 60s.
Yeah, same for here, yep.
Yeah. So, again, I know I alluded to it a little bit in the beginning. I know you ladies and gentlemen are not appreciated nearly enough for what you do. The biggest phone calls you get or, the emails you get or text messages you get are when there's a problem.
Yep.
But, then when everything's working great, you don't hear a thing, right?
I don't know about that.
Oh, okay. But anyway, as a program director and an air personality for many years, I want to thank you for what you do in keeping us sounding great and keeping all of our stations on the air in severe weather and all that stuff. I know what you guys go through at our place with ice storms and that kind of thing, and I know you've all been through that. And truly an honor, so thank all of you for having me here today. Hope it was all right, and you guys enjoy the rest of your conference.
Yep.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
it. And a quick moral to the story.
Oh, you got to...
For anyone who is does have a job like I did working around the radio studios, always treat your fellow DJs with better respect than I did, or you might be made either famous or infamous for 27 years later.
But there you go.
Thanks,
Steve.
Dan.
Steve Konopka, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
Richard Sparks, everybody. Put this right.